on this day I find myself troubled, nay, worried, nay, disturbed by the unfortunate effect gambling is having on some of our flock. In these modern times, many temptations are laid in our path. How easy it is to not play the game, to cop out, e.g., i.e., to boot, striking the church poker machines with a brick and absconding with the tape. Further, someone's been tampering with the Sunday school's sporting equipment and removed the house magnet from the roulette wheel. I think it is also applicable to remind you that mugging of the big winners is still prohibited within the church grounds. We all agreed to give them a head start. Over the years, we've had our differences over the administration of the church gaming funds, I admit. However, the events of this week have not gone unnoticed, and rest assured that after today's service, I intend having stern words with the parishioner responsible for rubbing out the deacon's wife without his permission.
It's the all-new double-strength, twin-ply, naked figure show. Starring in order of softness, the plain white or pastel, Nolene Brown. To decorate your bathroom, Ross Higgins. And the soft as a baby's funny rock, Kev Goldby.
In a strongly worded speech today, the Prime Minister denied opposition claims that Russian influence was spreading in the Indian Ocean.
It's just one of Gough's silly stories,
he said, as he opened the Black Swan vodka factory in Perth, Brad.
Hi, Joe, that's a nice port, Gerald.
Acceptable, I suppose. Of course, can't hold a candle to the one I bought yesterday.
No?
A 1908 Para port.
Good Lord, I didn't know there was such a thing. That must have set you back a pretty penny.
Oh, well, you know.
How much did it cost you, if you don't mind my asking?
$986.
Good Lord, that's expensive, isn't it?
I suppose it was, considering.
Really?
Yes, I dropped it.
In America, they wear pinstripe suits and carry violin cases.
In Sicily, they wear sheepskin waistcoats and carry a bomb.
In France, they wear a thin moustache and carry a flick knife.
And in Australia, they wear blue serge and carry a badge.
Sharp?
Yeah, what do you want?
It's me again.
I know.
Aren't you pleased to see me?
No.
Mock me not, Mrs. Jackson, for I am man.
Aye?
Well, like Helen Reddy, only different.
Marginally.
Yes, I am man. Hear my cry. The long, dormant, raw animal cry of a primeval paladin tears itself from my tortured style. Like that.
You've been starching your kimbies again, haven't you?
Don't.
Bruce, what do you want?
An open ticket to secret delights, a visa to venal events, a passport to erotic pleasure.
A Cadbury flake.
No, you don't understand. I want some aftershave.
Oh, your desert brutes have gone bristly again.
No, it's for me. For tonight, I step into the sophisticated jet-set world where the stakes are high, the women are fast. The Bonox is on the house.
You're going to a gambling casino?
There I sit at the gambling table, cool, detached, calmly masculine. My aftershave blends with the fine Havana that curls and hangs lazy in the air, and my firm jaw emits waves of aromatic magnetism. And across the green beige, she sits. Her, the woman. A wry smile curls my lips. A secret glance is exchanged, and we know what we know.
I suppose she's Princess Carolyn of Monaco.
No, my mum of Wombat Crescent. Eagerly the crowd presses in around the table. The air is electric. My steel blue eyes flash cool as the cards of fate are turned. Suddenly every nerve end in my body, every fiber of my being tingles. It's time to act. Like lightning I strike. Snap. The spoils of victory are mine. coolly I gather in Mrs. Johnson's chocolate crackles and gun the throttle of my machine.
A Lamborghini with mag wheels?
A Vespa with a Go Navy sticker. Down the church drive I roar. Disdainfully I mock the three-legged race. Ha-ha, I mock you, three-legged race.
All right, Bruce, you win. Here's your aftershave, $2.
That's not my brand.
Eh?
The one in the blue bottle. The one that causes women to unbutton my shirt and rub their cool hands on my broad chest.
This one?
No, that one.
This one?
That's the one. Vicks.
Bruce.
What?
Piss off.
Hello, John.
Oh, hello, Brian. How are you? Didn't expect to see you here.
Well, you know.
Yes.
Look at that blonde over there.
Yes.
Look what she's got.
Yes.
Amazing, aren't they?
Certainly are.
Very intelligent dogs, poodles.
Yes.
I had a poodle once. You know what it used to do? Wash the car.
Get away.
No, as God is my witness, he used to hold the hose in his teeth and wash the car. Every Sunday morning.
My poodle used to whistle through his teeth.
Oh, come on.
True. Moon River. Picked it up from the radio, I suppose.
Of course, after the poodle was commandeered by the Apollo space program, I got a German shepherd. Rommel was a fantastic shepherd. He used to shear his own sheep.
Really? Yes. My dog translated the Kama Sutra back into Hindi. Modern, of course.
Really? My dog smuggled Solzhenitsyn out of Russia. In a barrel under his chin.
No. You're being ridiculous. My dog wrote the Queen's Christmas message. Underwater.
Don't be absurd. My dog won the Melbourne Cup and the German Grand Prix on the same horse.
Liar. My dog taught Linda Lovelace to act.
Impossible. My dog designed the Concorde and the F-111 on the same day before he introduced Henry Kissinger to Chairman Mao.
My dog owns this pub.
My dog sold it to him.
He did not.
He didn't. He didn't.
We interrupt this dog sketch for a special announcement. In Sydney today, a dog sold a hotel to another dog. Meanwhile, in London, the Queen announced she would knight her speechwriter and hoped that he'd be very happy with his new pub. And now we return you to your normal program.
Ladies and gentlemen, Barry Leaf.
Short of the love you need. Everything, anything in the world. If
In Russia, the man in the street says...
Russia produces finest ballet dancers in the world.
But in England, they say...
No, England produces the best ballet dancers.
While in America, they say...
Sorry, pal, our ballet dancers are the greatest in the entire universe.
And in Australia, they say...
Our puffs will beat your puffs any day.
Excuse me, could you tell me how much it'd cost to send this parcel to Canberra, please?
Give it to me and I'll weigh it.
Careful.
Let's see now. Hey, it's ticking.
Just something loose.
Fragile, is it? It should be registered.
Don't bother. I don't want it back.
It's very loud. What is it?
Oh, nothing. Just some old clock parts and some nitroglycerin. Glisten to the falling rain. Lovely, isn't it?
So you're sending clock parts to Canberra. Why does it tick if it's in parts?
It doesn't like travelling.
Oh, I see. A nervous tick.
Bloody oath.
And this Mr. Kerr, friend of yours, is he?
Yes, a clockmaker.
Okay. Oh, that'll be $2.20. I'll just hit it with the old stamp.
Here is the news in brief. The Sydney Post Office was blown up today in what police describe as an explosion. Speaking to ABC News cameramen at the scene of the incident, the Postmaster General said,
I'd like to send a big cheerio to my mother.
And an eyewitness said,
Jay.
Meanwhile, in Adelaide today, the South Australian Premier received an enthusiastic reception from a huge crowd of four school children when he mounted an elephant and read aloud from his cookbook. Then fell off again. Now back to our normal programs.
Hello, pussycat.
Oh, hello.
Haven't we met somewhere before?
No.
Well, your luck has changed. Drink?
No.
Good. Waiter, gin and tonic for the lady, double.
But I didn't...
I suppose you think I noticed your stunningly dramatic entry and your sensual feline slink as you prowled across the room and voluptuously eased your perfect body into the chair. I suppose you think I noticed that.
No, I...
Well, I didn't. And I suppose you think I noticed the enticing caress of your tongue sliding across your full glistening lips.
No, I...
Well, I didn't. And I suppose you think I was stirred by the dark hint of a thousand delights that flashed from your deep brown eyes behind those seductive half-lowered eyelids.
No, I...
Well, I wasn't. Nor was I moved by the sight of the soft curve of your ankle and the graceful yet alluring flick of your delicate fingertips. I wasn't, do you hear me? I wasn't. I wasn't then, and I'm not now, and I never will be. Never, never, never do I make myself plain. Do you understand me, woman?
Well, yes, I do.
Good. Goodbye, Sister Mary.
Goodbye, Monsignor. Good morning, Mr. Burns.
Oh, yes, come in, Julie. I want you to take a memo to the managing director. Dear sir or madam, read your memo of the 16th...
Oh, I see you're doing the Reader's Digest It Pays to Increase Your Word Power quiz.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Certainly.
Oh, I've been having a go at it too, as well, also.
Good. I say, Julie, isn't that a new dress? Frock. Fashion. Gone?
Well, yes. Yay. Verily. Agreed.
It's very becoming. Alluring. Revealing. Exciting.
Thank you, Tar.
Look, Julie, why don't you put down your book and come and sit here on my knee? Patella, joints.
In fibrillation?
Thanks. Gratitude, appreciation.
Okay. No, I'd rather not.
Oh, come on, Julie. No one will see you. My God, you've got beautiful breasts, bosoms, tits, norks, boobs,
Stop it, Alan. I'll scream, shout, yell, cry out, yodel.
You do, and you're fired, sacked, banished, ejected, shooed, booted.
Well, I'll tell your wife, spouse, better half, little woman, old cheese, trouble and strife.
Not Gloria. Gasp, shock, horror, stun, amaze.
In fact, you can stick your lousy job up your nose. Proboscis, trunk, snuff, conk.
Don't you dare slam that door, hatch, portal, threshold. Pucker. Damn, poo, blast, poo. Let's get it together with Alison MacCallum.
Once my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. It's way down the end of Lonely Street, that's Heartbreak Hotel. And I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely, baby. In black, they've been so long on Lonely Street, they've never, never, never looked back. Ooh, get so lonely, babe. I get so lonely. I get so lonely. I could die.
At the zoo this afternoon, a tragic death occurred when an 85-year-old pensioner jumped into the lion's pit. I don't know what came over me, she said, but I always go a bit funny when Meals on Wheels is late.
think the Sunshine State is all pawpaws and peanuts, then you're wrong. All is not well in our tropical north, as our reporter June Heavyman found out.
For years, people have asked, what is the greatest menace facing Queensland today? And the answer has always been...
The Premier.
The answer has always been the cane toad. Yes, the cane toad. The greatest menace to the Queensland sugar farmer. But prominent cane cutter, Mr. Trevor Stork, thinks he has the answer. Mr. Stork.
Good night, call me Trev.
Thank you, Trev. Now then, I understand the cane toads were originally imported to eradicate the dreaded cane beetles.
That's right. Done a good job, too. Trouble was, the dirty little buggers breed like flies. Millions of them. No beetles, just cane toads.
So the cane toads were a bigger problem than the beetles. What did you do about that?
Snakes.
Oh, second door on the right.
No, I mean snakes. Death adders, to be precise. We imported death adders to eat the toads. Done a good job, too. Ate all the toads. Ate all the sugar cane. Killed me mother-in-law.
I see.
And me wife. Zap, no wife.
Yes.
And me seven kids. They love kids, death adders do.
Quite. Now...
Breed like flies, but the dirty little buggers.
And what did you do about the death adder plague?
Mongoose.
You mean mongooses?
Yeah, mongooses. We imported lots of mongooses from India to kill the death adders.
So now you're free of death adders?
That's right, not a death adder inside.
Oh, that's very good news.
Millions of mongooses, but no death adders.
I suppose they breed like flies.
Dirty little buggers. Soon fix that, bud.
Oh?
Yeah, we imported dozens of mongoose hunters from India.
Professional mongoose hunters?
From India, black. Killed all the mongooses, speared them all to death with their Punjabs.
And then returned to India?
Nah, they stayed here, millions of them, dirty little buggers. Breed faster than we can teach them to swim.
I thought they would. What did you do?
Called in the army. Oh, they had a lovely time, the army did. Shot the lot of them.
So that was the final solution to the problem?
Of course, then we had to get rid of the army.
How did you do that?
No problems, just a snack. Called in the most highly organized raiders in the world.
Oh, the Israeli commandos?
The Queensland Police Force.
Oh, of course.
Hello, hello.
Attention, Kiwi.
Anyone there? I said, is there anyone there?
Yes.
Where did you come from?
Yeah, where did you come from?
I've been here all the time.
Why didn't you say so?
I did.
Did not lie.
Untrue.
Don't shout at me. I'm not deaf.
He's not deaf.
You're a very lucky man.
My Uncle Bob was deaf and he looks just like you.
Well, what do you want?
Yeah, what have you got?
Madam, this is the Department of Social Security.
You wouldn't have a racehorse then?
No.
Oh, do you want one?
We've got one.
Yeah, it fell off the back of a truck.
Look, I don't want a racehorse.
Well, what do you want?
You want a jockey?
We've got a jockey.
Yeah, it fell off the back of a horse.
Gotcha.
Now look, what do you want?
A pension.
How old are you?
Very old.
Ancient.
Old as the hills.
28.
In that case, you're not old enough.
How old do you have to be?
65.
I'm 65.
You said 28.
I lied.
Yeah, he lied. Got you again.
Actually, I'm 108. I was in the Boer War.
He remembers Balaclava.
And the Alamo. Gino Alamo shot me brother during the last war.
Yeah. Then had the cheek to come out here and open a veggie shop around the corner.
Bloody cheek.
Yeah, bloody cheek.
Now, listen to me. You are not eligible for an aged pension.
Well, give me a widow. Pension.
You're not a widow. Your husband's still alive.
No, he's not. Gotcha.
Yes, he got you again.
Shut up, you're dead.
No, I'm not. The bullet hit me fob watch.
Oh, is this where you apply for fob watch compensation?
No.
I demand compensation for me fob watch.
Yeah, give him another fob watch.
Will you both stop and listen to me? You are not eligible for any pension. Will you please go away?
What about the war?
What war?
The Vietnam War.
Yeah, the Vietnam War. He broke his leg during that.
I did too. Broke me leg. Fell off a bar stool watching a moratorium demonstration.
Yeah, he did too.
Ask Jim Cairns.
Yeah, ask Jim Cairns.
What about a super phosphate bounty?
No.
Oil exploration subsidy?
No.
What about an arts grant? I'm a poet.
Yeah, he's a poet. Give him some money.
No, no, no.
A bone for the dog?
No. Please. Will you please go away and leave me alone?
Oh, all right.
Yeah, come on, Thelma.
Oh, by the way.
What?
Here's your lunch.
Oh, thanks, Mum.
When I'm in France, the men say...
Oh, la, la.
And when I'm in England, they say...
Look, I know we haven't been introduced, but I think you're damned attractive.
While in America, they say...
Hi, honey, what's a beautiful girl like you doing in a joint like this?
But it's nice to be home where they say...
Excuse me, love, is there a TIV around here anywhere?
Was the Naked Vicar Show, starring the telephonic Nolene Brown. The trump calls only Rob Higgins. And the heavy breathing Ken Goldby. The Sorry Wrong Number Double J Band was under the direction of the area-coded Michael Pajani. Noises and other sound effects were made by the service difficulties and faults of John McGraw, Ron Windman, and Steve Collins. This show was recorded at the Third Stroke by Mike Byrne, Keith Walker. Production was coordinated by Still Engaged Judy Murphy. Written and produced by the Dial Affair Gary Riley and Tony Sattler. With additional material by the Yellow Pages, Doug Edwards. Julianne Ford did a quick change in a front house to become executive producer. The Naked Vicar Show is an RSABC production. And if you want to complain, don't bother because the phone's been cut off.
We interrupt this end theme for a late news flash.
Today, while playing in a country football match, a player had his ear bitten off. Normally, I would have just taken his number, said the umpire, but he got right up my nose.